Okay, the boys say today's daf is daf Chof Aleph, and we're holding five lines from the top of the Yamed where it says Boy Minei Rav Avia Saba Mei Rav Huna. You recall, Rabbi Sai, that yesterday we darshan from the Pasuk Lachem. This Pasuk Lachem comes up every day for several days, where it says, On Yontif, Kol Malacha Le'yi'osa Behem, you're not allowed to do Malacha on Yontif. Ach, Asher Ye'ochel L'chol Nefesh, Hu Levad Ye'osa Lachem. But those things that involve Malachas Eichel Nefesh, allowing people to eat on Yontif, that's totally permissible. But it says in the Pasuk, Hu Levad Ye'osa Lachem. So we had yesterday in the Gemara on Daf Chof Amid Beis, a little bit halfway down the Amid, where the Gemara said, Lechem v'loy lekusim, lechem v'loy leklovim. That the exclusive heter to be able to go and cook on Yom Tov is for Jewish needs, but not if you're cooking for a Gentile, and not if you're cooking for a kelev for animals. So now the Gemara develops this in greater detail. It says the Gemara, Boy menem Rav Avya Saba Meirafuna. Rav Avya Saba asked Rav Huna. Behema chetzia shel nochri bechetzia shel Yisrael. Ma'u l'shech debiyontiv. What happens if a Jew and a Gentile own a behema 50-50, and now the Jew wants to go and shech debiyontiv and eat from this animal, and presumably he'll give half of it to the Gentile. Is he allowed to do that or not? If this was exclusively for the Jew, it wouldn't be a problem. Of course it's mutter, lechem. If this animal belonged exclusively to the Gentile, he wouldn't be able to go and shecht it on Yom Tov, because it says lechem v'lo lekusa. What happens if we have 50-50? Amalei mutter, he told him it's fine, no problem. Amalei, so he asked him, v'chima bein zeh l'nedorim inedobis. How is this different than nedorim inedobis? What does he mean? Because we have similarly a drasha that lechem v'loi Ligavoya, and that Ligavoya is to comes to be Mamaya to exclude Nedarim and Adobis. Now Nedarim and Adobis, if you think about it, is also Chutzi Chutzi. Chutzi Lechem, half of it belongs to us that we're able to go and eat, for instance, by the Shalmei Choyva, we're able to go and eat the meat of the Shlam. But part of it goes on the Mizbeach. That is the Aymurin. So there is a Shutfis there too. And halacha is that shutfis you're not allowed to, even though a large part of it belongs to me. Now, I mentioned Shalmei Gavoya, not Shalmei Gavoya, not Shalmei Choyva. So, but Nedarim and Nedavos, if it's a neder of, or a Nedava of a Shlomim, so then part of the Shlom belongs to me, to the Yid, and part of it belongs to the Bar Shlom, it goes on the Mizbeach. And we're saying Nedarim and Nedavos, according to Ula, Rabad Varahava, and the slew of Tanoim that we had yesterday, Dharma Davis, Einan Kratis Beyontif. Why not? It's also a 50-50 situation. This is what Rav Avya Saba asked Rav Huna. Instead of answering the question, Omale, he told him, hey, look outside, Orva Parach, there's a beautiful raven that is flying there. All beautiful colors, take a look. And he didn't answer the question. Kinofek, when Rav Avya Saba left the scene, he left the room. Amalei Rabba Barei, Rabba, the son of Rav Huna, said, Tati, lav hainu Rav Avya Saba, de mishtabeach leimar begavei de gavar Rabba. Isn't that Rav Avya Saba that you, my father, isn't that the one that you say about him that he's a very choshed yid? He asked you a very good question now, and instead of answering the question, you told him that there's a raven that is flying in the sky. What's the reason why he said that the raven is flying? Rashi says he sealed the Devar Acher. He changed the subject. Why didn't you answer him? After all, the question on the surface is an excellent question. Omalei, Sir Rav Huna said to his son, Uma Avidle, what can I do? Unfortunately, I wasn't bekoach to be able to respond to him properly. Ani hayoim samchuni ba'ashishois rabduni betapuchen. This is a pasuk in Shir Hashirim, and this pasuk samchuni means to support me, but ashishois Rashi, the art scroll, says Ashishris means dainty cakes. I guess it means something like delicious danishes, delicious pieces of cake, cookies, what have you. Rabduni betavuchen, I'd like to have apples to go and strengthen me, to give me koach. What's the reason why he's using this pasuk? Says Rashi, because he, Rav Huna, just got finished giving a langa drasha. And that drasha really wore him down, and he really was no longer bekoach to answer. Now, if it was a question that all you had to say is mutter or asur, yes or no, that would have been fine. Uboi minoi milta debaya taima. But he asked me a question that really needs a little bit of analysis, because after all, on the surface, it's an excellent question. Just like the Nedarim and Nedavos are 50-50 Rabbi Yishol Olam and Jews, and the halacha is that we're not allowed to go and check the Nedarim and Nedavos on Yantiv, so too, why is one allowed to go and check a behema which is Chotzi Shel Nachri, Chotzi Shel Yisrael? That's why I didn't answer him. I told him about the raven, because it really wasn't bekoach to answer. Why taka is it mutter the behema chetzi shel nachri v'chetzi shel yisrael mutter l'shach to biyantiv? You know why? I'll tell you why. The efshel v'ksay is basa b'lo shchita. It's impossible to go and split the behema into half and say, nachri, this half belongs to you, you do whatever you want. I take my half. You can do that after the shchita, but you can't do that before the shchita. And since a Jew is allowed to go and check the animal on Yontif to be able to eat from it, so even though 50% doesn't belong to me, but there's no way that I can get to my 50% without shechting the whole animal. And therefore says Rav Huna, that's why it's permissible to go and check the whole thing. Also the shechtim b'yontif. You know why? The kahanim ki kozochum yishulchum gavoya kozochum. Because really the Nedarim and Nedavos belongs not 50-50 Rabbeinu Shel Olam and us. The entire carbon belongs to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. The fact that the Kohanim can eat their Chozev Ishoik, and the fact that the Baalim are allowed to go and eat their portion of the carbon, that's as if a Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I'm giving all of you a portion from my carbon, says the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Kaviyach. So therefore, it's an entirely gevoya. It's not 50-50. That we have any part of the carbon, it's really a nice present that the Kodesh Baruch Hu gives us, and he says, Chavra, you can go and get a piece of the carbon, Kehanim, I give you the Chos V'Shoik, and the rest of the Baalim, I go and give them the rest of the Basa. So that's why there's a difference between the Dharma Nedavos and the Behema Chotzi Shel Nachri, Chotzi Shel Yisrael. And the Gemara continues in the same vein. Om Rav Chisda, behema chetshe shel nachri v'chetshe shel yisrael, mutter l'shach to biyantiv. Why? For the reason we just gave. The efshel v'kzai is basa v'lo yishchita. It's impossible to go and shecht only half an animal. There's only one way of shechting an animal, the entire animal. So, I'm allowed to go and shecht an animal on yantiv to be able to eat from it. And 50% of this animal belongs to me. Hulavadi yosalachem. So I'm allowed to go and shecht it. What will happen with the rest of the basa? I'll give it to the nachri after I shecht it. Now Rav Chisda wants to contrast this case to a very similar case. And that is what happens if you have an isa. Isa means a dough. Dough in the form of flour and water mixed together. And from this dough we're going to go and bake bread, chalois, matzois, etc. Isa chetzi shel nachri v'chetzi shel yisrael. Now here it's also lafois b'yontif. Here you're not allowed to go and bake it on yontif. Why not? Why not? Manishtana. Why is this different than the behema chetzia and chetzia? Says Yimara, very simple. To efshalei lemiflego belisha, because we can split the dough right at this point and give the nachri half of the dough and let him go and bake it, and I, the Jew, will bake the other half. So therefore, I have no heter to go and bake the entire dough, because it says lachem v'loy lekusim. I'm not allowed to go and cook or bake on behalf of the Gentile. I can do it for myself. So in the case of the behemah, I couldn't split it up before the shechita. But in the case of the isa, I can split it up before I bake it. Split it down the middle. I'll keep half for myself. That portion, of course, I'll be able to go and bake on Yom Tov, no problem. The other half, I'll have to give to the Nachri and tell him, you do whatever you like. If you want to bake, use them tight. If you don't, put it in the freezer. But you have to split it. Frank Dimar, is that really true? Mosev Rachuna Bar Chani lo yav a braisa l'choyre, which suggests otherwise. What does it say in the braisa? Isas kelovim. I put together an isa dough for the kelev to eat. Now, since we're talking about the kelev, obviously it's not going to be on the same high standards of an isa that you would prepare on behalf of human beings. Or at least that would be the logical premise. There are probably people on the west side that love their dogs so much that they would give the dogs even a superior dough for them to eat. But we're talking about, you know, reasonable times, reasonable people. So this Isis Kloven was, if you will, somewhat inferior. The art scroll says that they added to it a lot of secondary bran. Yeah, today bran is considered to be very healthy and nutritious, but at one point bran was referred to as subin, which was typically considered to be like psoles, like something that was not eaten, but rather was discarded. Anyway, so this inferior type of dough that was being prepared for the kloven, says the Gemara, it says the Braisa, Bismancha, Royin, Oichlen, Mimena, if it's still edible by Royin, Royim are shepherds. The Gemara assumes that shepherds are not as particular with their food as, for instance, urban city slickers, because after all, these people live off the land, so very often they'll eat things which perhaps people that live in cities might not eat. So if Royin would eat from it, Chayav is Bechala. So that's already the minimal standards that we have of causing this to be considered edible by human beings, because Royim eat from it. If that's the case, then has a standard of food. And if it has a din of food, mechavis b'chala, then you have to go and give chala. In other words, if a Royim couldn't eat from it, if the only one that could eat from it would be the kolavim, then the halacha would be partum min achala, because it's not edible. However, if it is edible by Royim, even if you and I might not consider it to be desirable, because it might be inferior, but nevertheless, if there are some normal human beings that eat from it, it's chai b'chala. Uma'arvin bo, you can use it for eruvei chatzeroitz. Umishtatvin bo, you can use it for shitufei mevuois. Umavorchen leh, you make a brocha hamoitzi. Umazamna leh, you can make zimun. In other words, you put together three people, raboisai mivan benchen, or raboisai nevorech. Can make zimun. And now the key to the kasha, v'nefes b'yontiv, and you can also bake it on yontiv. Let's come back to that in a moment. The odom yotiv b'yidei chavosim b'pesach. Just as long as you make sure that you baked it correctly and you kneaded it correctly so that it didn't come lidei chimutz, it didn't rise, then fine, you can even use it on Seder night because it's edible and it's matzah and you can eat it. But let's focus on Nefes B'yontif. Remember, this was an Isa for Klav. We're allowing Royim to eat from it if they so desire. Freik Dimara, V'yamai, why can you go and Nefes B'yontif, but Bacon and Yontif, for Efshel Leila Miflika Belisha? L'choira, I should go and split it up. What does he mean that I can go and split it up? Because you just said now, Rav Chizda, that if you have an Isa, that's a behema. But if it's an Isa, because you can go and split it up. Here too you can go and split it up. Go and leave one portion, half of it for the klovim. Part of it you leave for the royim, and so therefore split it down the middle. How are you allowed to go and bake for klovim on yontif? Didn't we say lachem v'loyle klovim? Everything marshani isis klovim hoyu v'efsher la'afayson v'nevela. You could easily remove the klovim from the picture vis-a-vis this dough. How? By going and giving them a piece of nevela. If you had nevela somewhere and you would say to the kelev, what would you prefer? Would you prefer a piece of bread? Would you prefer a piece of meat? So the average kelev says, I want a piece of meat. I'll eat the nevela meat, and I'll leave the isa behind. So based on this svara of hoil, the efshel afaisin b'nevela, So then it could very well be now that the entire Issa will be eaten by human beings and not by the Kladim. That being the case, it's no longer a 50-50 situation. It's now Ro'oi to be eaten totally by humans. Now it's Roy. It's not that I'm going to be Mephayasip Nevela, but I could be Mephayasip Nevela. That the Gemara holds that that potential is already enough to give a name to this dough, that it's no longer a 50-50 situation. It is in fact something which is Roy to be eaten totally by human beings, and therefore you're allowed to go and bake it on Yatav. Frank the Gemara, on the Isle of Rav Chisda Hoyel, to Rav Chisda subscribe to this Svar of Hoyel, the Efshel of Eisen ben Avela, Vo Itmar, I'll bring you a much more familiar case of Hoyel, which you'll recall Robert and Barry spoke about a few days ago in the Gemara. Vo Itmar Ho'ifim Yontav L'Choyel. What happens if a person wants to bake from Yontiv for Choyel? Which of course is prohibited. Because the only heter in the Torah of cooking and baking on Yontiv is for Yontiv itself, but not for Choyel. So Rav Chisda Omar, if you bake on Yontiv for Choyel, loike, you're over on the Isra of Kol Melacha, lo ye'asa behem, you're not going to do a Melacha on Yontiv. Rabba Omar, ain't a loike. Rabba said, no, there's no din of Malkus. Now, why is there no din of Malkus? Sigmar explains, Rav Chisda Omar loike, lo yamrinen hoyel umik loile orchem chozile hashta, or chozile, hashta nami chozile. We don't say this word of hoyel. In other words, it's already Yontif afternoon, they've already eaten their big meal, there's no need to go and prepare anything more for Yontif, because, Baruch Hashem, everybody is full to the gills, everybody's benched already, and nobody intends eating anything until after Yontif, as Ashtikal and Malava Malka after Yontif. But the baker at home decides, I want to go and bake. Why do I want to bake? For Chol, for tomorrow. Well, we already said that that's awesome. You're not allowed to. Yeah, but the baker says, you know what, every once in 50 years, people come by unannounced, they knock on the door, and they say that they just came from South Africa, and their flight was late, and they're hungry, and they didn't have anything to eat, and I want to be able to go and serve them some food. So, there is always that possibility that guests may come. And if they come, then I'm certainly allowed to go and bake for them for Yontif. So the Gemara says, hoyl, because there is that potential, even though the potential is rather remote, but it is still a possibility. You would be permitted to go and bake on Yomtiv. Hashanami here too, even though you're not expecting any guests, and in fact your intent is to go and bake on the Kovit Choy. Not the Kovit Choy, but for Choy. What's the difference? Says Rava ain't a loike, but Rav Chisda goes and dismisses that argument, and he says, Lo Yomrin and Hoyle, I don't believe in that. Rava Omer ain't a loike. Amrin and Hoyle, because you do say Hoyle that may be imikloy le'archem. If that's the case, I find now concrete evidence that Rav Chisda doesn't subscribe to Hoyle, that there is that potential. Just like Rav Chisda doesn't hold the potential of Hoyle, a person who's baking from Yontif to Hoyle, l'chayra, I shouldn't say this Hoyle in the case of someone who is preparing and baking an Issa partially for Klovim and partially for Royim. Well, it's mutter because Hoyul vi Efshel Afaisen ben Avela. Yeah, it's certainly possible. There is that potential. But Rav Chisda doesn't hold of those potential possibilities. He talks about the facts, the actual, not the potential. Today, it's Yontif. I don't see any Orchem. I don't expect any Orchem. The facts are that I'm cooking it, baking it for Chol. Malkus, here too, yes. It's possible to go and give Nevela. I don't have any Nevela here to go and offer to the Klovim. And because of that potential possibility, I say Nefes B'Yontif. Of course, it doesn't hold of potential remote possibilities. Everywhere, Eloi Tema Hoyel the Efsher, El Kigoyin the Islay Nevela, the Vaday Efsher Lefaisim in Nevela. Some take out the years of the word Efsher. The Vaday Lefaisim in Nevela. What does that mean? Until now we thought that the reason why Rav Chisda is Mekel is because there's that possibility of a bias for Nevela. Even though I have no Nevela, and I have not had a Nevela in my house for the last 20 years, but there's always that possibility. So he went, no. Rav Chisda doesn't believe in potentials and possibilities. He believes on factual. And so therefore, what does Rav Chisda say? We're talking about a situation where there is Nevela. He has Nevela ready, willing and able to go and give it to the Klavim. And he has a Nevela right here in the kitchen, together with the Issa that he's preparing for the Klavim and for the Royim. That's the reason why it's Nefes B'Yontif. Because not that I have the possibility of giving it to the Klavim, that maybe I'll buy, I'll get, I'll retrieve some Nevela. I got the Nevela on the spot! And therefore, there's a great likelihood that the Klavim are going to want the Nevela rather than the dough. Lahavdul Alfi Avdolis, there are a lot of people that don't wash today for meals, they don't eat bread, and they want an extra piece of meat. So, Lahavdul, the same thing with Caliph. He prefers the Nevela over the dough. So under those circumstances, says our Gemara, that's why we deem the entire dough as if it's being made for the Royim. Obviously the Royim are not going to eat from the Nevela, because the Nevela is not kosher, and we're assuming that the Royim are Jews, are Jewish people. Therefore, says the Gemara, that's the reason why here, Nefes B'Yomtif, even though in the normal case of Chatzishol, Nochri, Chatzishol Yisrael, Oser Lafoyse V'Yomtif. Boim Rehm Ravuna. They asked Ravuna the following Shaila. Hani B'nei Baga, people that live in the towns, in the Shtetlach, Duromu Alayu Kimcha D'B'nei Chela Mahu Lafoyse V'Yomtif. Now we've had this from time to time in the Gemara, where the Gemara tells us that in the good old days, when the king wanted to supply his military with food, instead of assessing a tax against the general population and using part of those monies to go and support the military, instead, wherever the military would go, from town to town, village to village, city to city, the local townspeople, the local city people, would have to go and supply food for the military for the week or two that they were local, and then they would move on to the next town, the next village, and then they had to be supported by the people there. And that was the tax, if you will, on the community. Okay, so one particular community had the misfortune that the military came Yom Tov time, and it's Gezeiras HaMelech. You have to go and support them, you have to go and give them food. Now they're arriving in Yom Tov. Maula Foyse B'Yom Tov, are you allowed to go and bake for these non-Jewish soldiers on Yom Tov? Now we already said that you're not allowed to go and bake for non-Jews, only for Lechem. So Omar Lahu. So Rav Huna answered the B'nai Baga, Chazina, take a look. Iyavi le rifta li yanuka v'le kapti, kol choda v'choda chazi lenuka v'shari. The ilav osur. What does the Gemara mean to say? What the Gemara mean to say is, take a look whether or not these non-Jewish soldiers are makbid on whether or not you're going to go and give a piece of the dough, meaning after it's baked, you bake it for this non-Jewish military men. However, what you do is you cut off a slice or two to give it to a child. Let's see whether they're makbid. Will they say, oh no, that's all for us, don't give it to anybody else, it belongs to us? If that's what they say, then you are baking exclusively for the goyim, and we said that that's not permissible. Lechem v'loy lekusim. However, if the goy does allow you to go and give a piece to the Jew, so then you know what? So now you are baking chutzi lehem and chutzi lechem. Chotzi for the Nochri and Chotzi for the Yisrael. And if that's the case, then you won't have a problem, because it's Chotzi Chotzi. Now the Chayyim, I do have a problem, because we have in the middle of the Yom that Rav Chisda said that Issa Chetzeshol Nochri Chetzeshol Yisrael is also Afoisa B'Yotiv. And here Rav Huna is giving an Eitzah, go and ask the military men whether or not you can go and share some of this bread with the Jewish kids. And if they say, yes, it's all right, then you can bake on Yom Tov. Why? It's still a situation of Chotzi, Chotzi, Chotzi Shel Yisrael, Chotzi Shel Nochri. And we said that that's also the voice of the Yom Tov. Says Rashi, Rav Huna argues with Rav Chisda. Rav Huna holds that if you have an Issa which is Chotzi Shel Nochri, Chotzi Shel Yisrael, he holds it Mutter. If you look at the Rashi, Kol Chodah B'Chodah, just go up five lines. Kol Chodah B'Chodah, Palig Ravun Ad Rav Chizda. The Omar, Rav Chizda said before, Chotzi Shel Nochri, Chotzi Yisrael, Osel Afoisa. Rav Huna says that it's Mutter Afoisa. So therefore, getting back to the Gemara, Omalahu said Rav Huna to the Bnei Baga, Chazina, take a look, experiment, check it out. If they tell you, yeah, sure, you can go and cut off a piece or two, a slice or two, and give it to the children, then, so then it's a chetzia lenochri, chetzli Yisrael, it's mutter. The lava, they say, oh, no, no, that's for us. You want to go and give something for the Jewish kids? Take your own chalas, take your own bread, not the bread that you are designating for us. Frankly, more about Tanya. How do you say that? We learned in the Braisa, Ma'isa b'Shimon ha-Timni, not Timoni, because he didn't come from Timon, he came from Timna, says Rashi. B'Shimon ha-Timni, Shalei bo emesh l'bismedrish b'shachras. He didn't come yesterday to the bismedrish in the morning. I'm sorry, Shalei bo emesh l'bismedrish. He didn't come yesterday to the bismedrish. B'shachras in the morning, the next morning, Matzer Yehuda ben Bava, Yehuda ben Bava meets Shimon ha-Timni, he says, Omaloyim, name my labasa emesh l'bismedrish. What happened? Where were you? How come you didn't come? Maybe you had a cold. Maybe you had the sniffles. What was the problem? Omalois, he told him, Baleshes Bali Irenu. Oh, Baleshes means such a large, Rashi says, a large garrison of Gedudei Nochrim, Shemachapsin Ubolshin Lishlo Sholo. We had a whole bunch of hoodlums that came into town, and their entire desire was to go and take over the town and take spoils and take booty and take it home. So these were really bad guys that are coming. What did we do to go and save ourselves and save our property, save our possessions? They wanted to go and take over the whole city and strip it of all of the possessions. You know what we said? Let's go and shech for them an egel, a nice calf. And we gave them to eat. And we probably gave him something to drink. After they ate that nice feast, they said, you know what? That was so good. We're moving on to the next location. We're going on to the next town. So therefore, we saved all of our possessions. It doesn't say that they came for retzicha. Apparently, they only came for money. If it would be retzicha, you have a pikuach nefesh. You can do whatever you can to save your lives. Apparently, that was not the situation. It was just a question that they're going to steal all of the money, and so therefore they were able to get rid of them by shechting an animal and giving them to eat. Now, this is...
So was that, sorry? Was that pikuach nefesh for the people in the town?
So the point is that...
Yeah. He was saving themselves by giving them food, and then preparing them.
No, there's no question that that's what Shimon ha-Timni was saying. The reason I didn't come yesterday to Bis Medrash is because we were busy yesterday preparing food to give to this Baleshes that wanted to take over the town. But apparently, the taking over of the town only meant taking away money and not Chas V'Shalom killing anybody. So therefore, there was no Pikuach Nefesh factor, because if there is a Pikuach Nefesh factor, then there's no question in the Gemara that Abadi, you're allowed to do whatever you can to save Jewish lives. But apparently, that wasn't the concern. The concern was only they're going to take over all the possessions. So we went and shechted an ego, and Baruch Hashem, with that we're able to get rid of them. That's what Shimon ha-Timni said. Is Omolois, so Yehuda ben Bova now responds to Shimon ha-Timni, Toma ani, I'm wondering, im lo yetzir yotza scharchem hefsavchem, that maybe that you gained, the schar over here, we mean that your gain, or your profit, meaning the fact that you saved all of your possessions from being stolen, that might outweigh, or that might be equal to the hefsid. Hefsid means your loss. Now, what was the loss over here? It's a spiritual loss. You had no right to go and shecht an eagle on behalf of these goyish hoodlums, because after all, lechem levechem. So that's why I was saying apparently there wasn't a pikuach nefesh concern, because if there was, that would certainly trump the concern about shechting on behalf of the goy. I'm saving my life. I'm allowed to do even more than just shechting an animal on Yom Tov. So apparently there wasn't pikuach nefesh. It was only a question of stealing the money. Good. So by giving them the egel, there's no question you have the schar. Schar meaning you have the reward that you've saved all of the town's possessions. But you also have a terrible hefsid that you've been over in the Torah, that you went and shechted an egel on behalf of the goy. That's what it says in the Braisa. Freiti Mara, according to you, Rav Huna, that as long as a Jew is able to go and eat from the Isa, then it becomes chotzi chotzi. V'amai hachazel meichel minei. Wouldn't the goy allow you to go and eat from your own shechita? After all, it's my ego. I'm shechting it, I'm giving a portion to the military, not to the military, but to these hoodlums that wanted to maraud and steal all of my possessions. Are they going to go and say, hey, you're not going to go and eat from that animal, you shechted it for me, it's all for me. That's kind of ridiculous. Rashi says, v'chozel meichel minei, five lines from the bottom, for the akpidu, the goyim, the baleshes, they're not going to be makbid that you're also eating a piece of meat. Sherem b'shalehenoyah, after all, it belongs to us, these egos, it doesn't belong to you. So you see that even though it's a 50-50 situation, it's chutzi lechem and chutzi lenochrim, what does the Braisa say? Says, Rebbe ben Bava, I think you made a boo-boo, and you had no right to go and shech the animal. According to the Svara Rav Huna, he did have a right to go and shech the animal. Moreover, Rabbi Isai, before we were talking about Isa, whether you can go and give a piece of bread to a tinnik, this is not even Isa, this is an animal. An animal we had earlier on the top of the daf, in the middle where we started today, and so said Rav Chizda, so said Rav Huna. The only machlokes between Rav Huna and Rav Chizda was Rabbi the Isa, because that you can split before you do your kneading or your baking. Here, when you talk about shechting an animal, there's no way of splitting it before you go and shecht it. So therefore, a Jew would have the right to go and eat from it. So this, the behemah, if you will, is being geshechten for both. Since it's being geshechten for both, according to Rav Huna, that says, as long as they're not makbid that you can go and give a piece of bread to the tinnik, they're certainly not going to be makbid if I take a piece, a slice of meat and eat it for myself. It's my animal. What do you expect? Of course I'm going to eat a piece of meat from it. So it should be mutter. Why did Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava say, Tamihani im leyotzes charchem vefsadchem? Every the Gemara Amr of Yosef Egel treifa hava. We're talking about that the eagle was not a kosher animal. Of course, an eagle by definition is a kosher animal. It's a calf. However, treifa, that it had simoni tarfus, there was ichweis, a hole in the lung or in the liver or in the heart, whatever, one of the simoni treifas. And so therefore, there's no svara over here that chotzi for the goy, chotzi for the Jew. The Jew is not allowed to eat from it. It's only for the goy. Oh, and what it says in the more of a shechatnu lehem egel, either it means lav dafke shechita, means that we killed it, or they shechted it, and after the shechita, they went and did a bedika, and they saw that unfortunately there are holes everywhere in the lungs, in the heart, etc., and therefore it's treifa, we couldn't eat from it. Zokti Gemara, that's the reason why the Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava said that l'choira, you are mafsid by preparing it solely for the guy. Freiti Gemara, v'chazi l'klavim, you can go and use this meat that you're shechting. Are you having a problem hearing, Barry? Is there a bad connection? Yeah, okay. Freiti Gemara, v'chazi l'klavim. I can't do anything about the connection. Hopefully, the internet will improve this morning. Freiti Gemara, v'chazi l'klavim. After all, you could also hand over some of this egel treifa to a dog. And at this point in the Gemara is assuming that...
It becomes an egg.
I'm sorry, David? Everything okay? V'achazi l'klavim. This is roy to be eaten by dogs. And the Gemara...
It's coming in and out a little bit.
You're not hearing me correctly? Should I try to...
It seems to be coming in and out a little bit. I'm hearing fine.
You're hearing fine? Okay.
Yeah.
Everybody else? Shelly, can you hear me? Shelly? Barry? Can you hear me? Apparently not.
I hear you partially.
Partially.
Right.
Okay, only listen to the good words. Not the
enough.
Let me see if I can... I'm going to try to improve the audio.
The shoes are not for the club of a man.
Okay, let me see if I can improve the audio. Bear with me one moment, Rabbi Isai. I'm going to try to switch the audio. Hopefully it will be better.
On my end, Barry and Shelley are frozen, but maybe it shorts my connection.
Let's see, one second. Okay, can you hear me any better now? Okay, so let's hope that this is better. Back to the Gemara. So the Gemara asked, okay, it's an egel treifa, but in addition of giving to the egel treifa to the baleshes, to these bad hoodlums, I can also share it with my kelef. And the Gemara is assuming at this moment that you are allowed to go and cook and bake on behalf of a kelev on Yom Tov, even though we learned yesterday, lechem v'loy l'klovim. At this point, the Gemara is assuming that you can go and cook for your own klovim, because just like you're allowed to go and cook for members of your household, and the dog is, in a sense, part of your household, because you have responsibility, achrai is to feed your dog. So, since you could share this piece of egel, not only with the baleshes, but also with your klavim, isn't that again chotzi? Shouldn't it be permissible? Says Yimor, on this very point that you're talking about the klavim tanoihi, that's in fact the machlokes tanoim, whether or not you're allowed to go and cook and shecht and feed and do on behalf of your klavim on yontif. The sign you learned in the braisa, same pasuk that we've quoted before. Ach ashiyochel chol nefesh ulavadi yosa lachem. It says for you, but it also says l'chol nefesh. Mimachish enemer l'chol nefesh, and me'ani afil a nefesh behemah b'mashma. Maybe nefesh includes even a nefesh of a behemah. Why? Kinyin shenemer, like it says in the pasuk, umaki nefesh behemah yishal mena. So you see that the word nefesh could also refer to an animal. So maybe that's what it means. Achish yochel l'chol nefesh, including a kelev, including an animal. Tam aloy melechem, lechem aloy. The klovim, divrei Rabbi Yosef Levi. The lechem comes to tell you, no, nefesh means a nefesh of a person, not the nefesh of a behema. Divrei Rabbi Yosef Levi. And therefore, our Gemara that said that Shimon HaTimni was, if you will, rebuked by Reb Yosi ben Bava, Reb Yehuda ben Bava, Reb Yehuda ben Bava was telling him, you had no right to go and check on behalf of the guy. I could go and give part of it to the klovim. It was an ego treifa. Ha ha! But the klovim, you can't give the klovim either. Like Rabbi Yosi Aglil. Rabbi Kiva, oh, you're not filling nefesh behemah b'mashma. Nefesh behemah is also included. So what is lechem mean? Lechem aloy l'chovim. So now this seems to be a little bit strange. On Yontif, you're allowed to cook not only for yourself, according to Rabbi Kiva, but also for your dogs. But you're not allowed to cook for a Gentile. That sounds so discriminatory. You're allowed to go and cook for your own dog and not for a Gentile. Does that make sense? Maybe I should do it the other way around. See, Mora says, this has nothing to do with Chas V'Shalom discrimination or racism or anything like that. It's very simple. If it's your dog, it's your responsibility to go and feed it. You have to feed it any way you can and the way you should. If you don't have nevela, you have to go and cook for your dog. You have to go and bake for your dog. You have to make sure your dog lives. After all, it's your possession. You don't have to go and support every single Gentile out there. Let the Gentile work. Let him go and bake and cook for himself. It's not my achrayis. And so therefore, yontif, you can cook for your klovim according to Rabbi Akiva, but you cannot go and cook for nochrim. But Rabbi Yosef Glili disagrees, and he says, even for klovim, it's also prohibited. Back to the Gemara. Omer Abayi Rabbi Yosef. That you're not allowed to go and prepare food for your dogs on Yom Tov. Let them scrounge around themselves and go and eat. Is Hani Sufli L'chiyusa Hechi Shadim Lu B'Yom Tov? What are Sufli? Rashi says, Sufli are the pits of dates. If you look at the very top, Rashi, Gar'inei Tamarim, date pits. Date pits, after you finished eating your dates, you have pits left over, you're allowed to throw them to the chiyusa, to your animals on Yom Tov, and let them eat it. Apparently, this was something that animals ate, and you're allowed to do that. Now the question is, if you're telling me you're allowed to go and prepare and feed and do whatever you have to do for klovim on Yom Tov, then it's fine. But if you're not allowed to, shouldn't it have the status of mukta? How can you even touch these date pits? Just have them tossed into the garbage. I'll tell you why. Because date pits can be used not only for fodder for animals, they can also be used for fuel for lighting fires. So if you mara, and therefore that's why they're not mufta, because I can go and use it for a fire. Frank Timura, tenech b'yabeshta. I can understand if you're talking about yabeshta when they're dry. That is, dry date pits are wonderful for bonfires. But b'tifta ma'ikal meimer, if you're talking about that they're still moist, for instance, if you just finished eating your date, and so therefore the pit is still, if you will, wet or moist, you can't use that for a fire. Omalei chazal hasik godol, you can't use it to start a small little fire. However, if you have a big fire, and you want to add now additional fuel, you could go and add it to a large fire. It's just like a moist piece of wood. If that's the only wood that you have, and you're starting a fire, you're not going to get very far. However, if you really have a big bonfire and you have to throw more wood in, you throw in a moist piece of wood. In a very short period of time, all the moisture will evaporate. You'll hear some sizzling in the flames. And then after that, it'll act as very, very good wood. So here too, this will be excellent fuel. Says Martelech B'Yontif. Okay, I can understand on Yontif that you have these date pits, you can throw them to the animals. B'Shabbos Ma'ikal Meimer. Shabbos, obviously, you're not allowed to go and use them for fuel for a fire. And for the Gemara Ma'ikal Meimer, the Gemara Metaltalina, Nehu Agav Rifta. What you can do is throw it to the klovim by first putting it on a piece of bread. Meaning, yes, touching the actual date pits themselves, you have a mukta problem. But if you put them on the piece of bread, and the Mefarshim say, not that you take pits from the garbage or from the table and you put on bread, then it's all muktzah. But rather we're talking about that as he coughs up the pit from his mouth, he just ate up the date, he takes the pit from his mouth, he has it in his hand, instead of putting it on a plate or putting it on a napkin or whatever, he puts it on a piece of bread. And since it's on a piece of bread, of course you're allowed to be metaltal on Yom Tov or even on Shabbos, then I don't have a problem because I'm going to carry the pits on the bread, and therefore that will be mutter. Now you're going to say to yourself, really you're going to use the bread as a tray, as a plate for the dates, for the date pits? Isn't that a bizoyin? Aren't you be mevaza ochlin? Says Yomara, kidishmul di yomishmul oisa adam kol tzorcha v'pasa. You can go and use bread for any need, any necessity. It cannot be a total bizoyin ochlin to the point that it'll become inedible, because then you're wasting food. Bal tashchis. We're talking about a situation, yeah, it's not the nicest thing to do, but nevertheless, the bread is not irreversibly inedible. You can still eat it even after you give the pits to the animals. Uplikin Reb Shuman Levi, the Yom Reb Shuman Levi, Mezamnenes Anokhri B'Shabbos. Okay, so you could put two dots after the Oysa Odom Kol Tzorcha B'Pas. And now we start a new shtickle, this upliga. This pliga goes back on Rav Huna. The Rav Huna said that when you have an Issa and you're supplying the troops with that Issa, as long as they allow you to go and take a small piece, a slice, and give it to a tinnik, give it to a child, then the Issa now has been transformed into an Issa that is no longer solely and exclusively for the Gentiles, but it's both for Gentiles and for Jews, and therefore if it's chutzi chutzi, said Rav Huna, that it's mutter. So Kimura, Upli Rav Yishu Melevi, Yom Rav Yishu Melevi, Mezamnenes Anochri B'Shabbos, Ve'mezamnenes Anochri B'Yontif. You're allowed to invite a goy to your table on Shabbos to eat with you, but you cannot invite him on Yontif. Now you're thinking to yourself, that doesn't make sense. Shabbos, yes, Yontif, not. Why not? Because if you're going to invite a goy to your table for Yontif, as you're making your plans, how many portions do I need to cook for all of my guests? You're going to go and throw in the non-Jew among them. And you might go and add one or two or three more portions for him. So then you are now cooking for the non-Jew. And we said that that's, says Reb Shimon Levi, that that's not permissible. But according to Rav Huna, it is permissible. Rav Huna said that you could go and cook for the Jew and the non-Jew together on Yontif. So that's what the Gemara says. Please, Reb Shimon Levi, Rav Huna, that was matir, argues Reb Shimon Levi, that is machmir, that says that this is not permissible. You shouldn't invite a goy to your table on Shabbos either, because he's going to drink from some of the wine. We're talking about the goy is not going to touch the bottle of wine, that won't be an issue, but I, the Jew, will pour wine into his cup. And what is he going to do with the cup? He'll drink 95%, but he might leave over a drop at the bottom of the cup. That portion that he leaves at the bottom of the cup will be muktzah, because none of us will be able to drink it. It all happens to be yayin of a goy. Shouldn't that also apply to us when we have shiuri koises? It's also something that nobody's going to want to drink from. Why not? Rashi said because the custom was that people didn't just drink the wine, they would go and take a piece of their bread and they would be shored, they would soak it in the wine. And by the time you finished soaking the bread in the wine and drinking and imbibing the wine, then it's all going to be not just wine, but also particles of bread on the bottom. And it's going to be mo'us. Nobody's going to want to eat or drink from that. I don't know how many of you remember, but years ago when you used to give out tikkun, either during the week or even Kiddush and Shabbos, you would often see the Yidden from the Haim, people from Europe, they would take the piece of sponge cake and they would dip it into their schnapsglaslich and they would allow the sponge cake to go and absorb the schnapps, and then they would go and bite and eat the piece of cake. And then you would see the residue, of course, in the schnapsglasel. There wouldn't be schnapps anymore, there would be these small particles of cake mixed with a drop of schnapps at the bottom. So says the Gemara, this will also be now muktzah, because nobody's going to want to eat or drink from it. And now you're creating a muktzah situation. So it's not just the goy's shiuri koises, yochid didon nami, ours as well. Evermore didon chozul tani goylem. Our shiuri koises, which is left over, although a person won't drink from it, but you can go and bring over a rooster or hen, and they're not so makpid, they will drink or eat from whatever's left over. If that's the case, if they're not makbid, they're not going to ask whether this is yayin nesach of a non-Jew or whether this happens to be wine of a Jew. They could care less. These are tana goylem. Everything Gemara did who isuri anoha ninu. There's the shiuri koises of the non-Jew. It's not just something that is mo'us that people will not want to drink from because it's leftovers. But also, it's isur b'hanah. Why is it also b'hanah? Because it's yayin nesach. The non-Jew that drinks from it, the assumption is that in the middle he went and did his business up and down, and therefore it's yayin nesach, and yayin nesach is also b'hanah. Feitimol and taldinu agav kasa. Let's go and be able to metal to the shiuri koises as part of the kois. The kois itself is worth money. We're not talking about a plastic schnapsglasel that you're going to throw in the garbage. We're talking about the kois itself has value. So why don't you say it becomes bottle to the kois? Just like we said before, you can go and carry the dates on the piece of bread. Go and carry the shiuri koises in the kois. Didn't Rava say metalkalim? Kinuna agav kitme Avgav de ikale shivrei eitzim. Rava said that on Yom Tov, you're allowed to go and carry a kanuna. What exactly is a kanuna? Rashi says a kanuna is a kli that you put in coals. Now the coals have already expired, they've already ended, and they're now in the form of kitme. Kitme means they're now ash. Ash can be used on Yom Tov, says Rashi, l'moshel, to go and put on, if you're, for instance, doing shechting, like we had at the beginning of our mesechta, eif akira muchanu, you could go and use that for purposes of kisei hadah. Or Rashi says you can use it lechasis roik, oitzoya. If a person spit on the ground and he did not use a spittoon, or you had a baby that did not have a diaper, and therefore the baby left some tzoya on the ground, then you would want to have this ash to go and cover it over. So that's the reason why you're allowed to be metaltal the kinuna, this kli, which is normally a kli that you're using for burning gecholim, you're allowed to go and carry it, agav kitme, because of the ash inside it, agav ikalei shivrei eitzim, even if there's still some of the original twigs that you were using for making the gecholim are still there, and these shivrei eitzim would be aser, they would be muktzah. Nevertheless, you're allowed to be metaltlit on Shabbos because of the fact that you have all the kitma, which is muchan, which can be used for the roik or the tzayin. Oh, so says the Gemara, so why can't you go and be metaltl the residue of these koises, agav, together with the kois itself? You cannot compare. It's not that both cases are just muktza. Here, the shir koises of the Gentile is not just residue. We're talking about isur hanor. We're talking about yayin nasach. That's awesome. Mashenke, if you're talking about the kanuna with the shir yaitzim, that's just regular mukta. Regular mukta is mutter to be metaltal, agav the kitme, agav the ash, which is mutter. So, what have we come at, Rabbi Say? What the Gemara is telling us is, Sutravacha ber Yankif. Not only should you not invite a nochri on Yom Tov, because you might come to cook on behalf of the nochri. And we already said that you're not supposed to go and cook on behalf of the nochri because of lechem v'loy lekusim. But don't even invite him on Shabbos, because if you invite him on Shabbos, he's going to create a case of muktzah. The shamis, the waiter who's Jewish, is going to want to move all of the used kalim from the table and take them into the kitchen. He won't be able to. It's mukta. So you're going to tell him, yeah, but I've got the kois. No. It's a mukta of isur hanor severity. Therefore, don't invite them so we don't create a mukta situation. As you know, if you have a graf shorei, that's like a potty which has in it tzoya, you're allowed to move that on Yom Tov. Why? Because of the terrible stench, because of the fact that it's a graf. It's interfering with your ability to enjoy Shabbos and Yom Tov. So you're allowed to move that. So these shiri koises, you're also allowed to move. It's like a graf sharei. Amalei v'chiyos, a graf sharei l'chadchila. A graf sharei means if you have a situation of a body, but you don't want to create a situation of a body. In other words, don't invite the Gentiles to your table so you don't get into this issue of shiri koisos and creating mukta and creating graf sharei. A graf sharei is a bidyevet, not something that you're allowed to orchestrate l'chadchila. Says Yimar, Adbrei Rava the Marshmul v'darash. Adbrei means that Rava took Marshmul for a little bit of a walk, and v'darash, and he dashed. Mezamnes anochri b'shabes, vein mezamnes anochri b'yontif. Why? Just like Rabbi Shua ben Levi said earlier, we're afraid that he's going to come to cook on behalf of the Gentile. What happens if they did invite a Gentile to their house on Yom Tov? Don't we have this gzeira? Says Yimar Omrulai, they would tell the Gentile in advance. If you're happy with the amount of food that we prepared for you, that's great. The Eloi, if however you come to the table and you're disappointed because the portions are too puny, and you're saying to yourself, oh, I'd like to have another portion of meat, another portion of this or that. Unfortunately, based on halacha, I will not be able to now go and cook and bake for you bimyuchad, expressly for you. If I had extra left over, sure. But if I don't, I'm terribly sorry, I'm not allowed to go and cook for you. So therefore, this was a way for them to be able to go and invite a nochri biyontif without the potential violation of the shemiyar b'shvilai. They gave him adequate notice in advance that we're not going to be able to go and be marba bishvilcha for the nochri. On to the next Mishnah. Look to Mishnah. Beishami Amrin. Brother Shah, you're asking a question?
So we'll see you 9:30.
9:30 tomorrow night in Yad Hashem Matziyam. Okay, 9:30 sharp. Or more or less sharp. Yad Hashem 9:30 tomorrow evening. Hopefully everybody will be able to join.
Wednesday night.
Today, Wednesday night, that's correct. Tomorrow night is Yom Tov. Tomorrow night is Yom Tov, Wednesday night, that's correct. Thank you for correcting. Zok the Mishnah, if I don't speak to you later, Brother Shai, have a beautiful Lechti Yafaydach Yom Tov, enjoy every moment.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Zok the Mishnah, Meishami Amum Leyechem Odom Chamen Liraglav Elim Ken Ru'uyen Lishtiyo Ubeisil Matir. We all know, Ache Shiyoch L'chol Nefesh Hu Levadi Yosel Lecham. You're allowed to go and cook, you're allowed to bake, you're allowed to shecht for eating. For oichal nefesh, what happened for other tzorachs, such as your feet are weary and you want to go and warm up your feet? They're cold, they are tired. Says Bishamai, leyechem adam cham liraglav. You're not allowed to go and warm up water for soaking your feet on yontif. Elam kinu uim lishtia, unless these waters happen to be so clean and so clear that if you wanted to, you could drink from them. Ah. Since migri that you can go and drink from them, it's already water that you can use for ochel nefesh, so you can use it incidentally for warming for the person's foot. Beisil matirin, and Beisil says no. Even if you're doing it exclusively for the raglayim, that's good. Even if it's not roi to drink, and this is Beisil l'shitasa. The Beisil says mitoich shehutra letzayrech ochel nefesh, hutra nami shaloi letzayrech. So even though this is not ochel nefesh, but you're also allowed to go and warm up the water for your feet. Moreover, says the Mishnah, a person can go and put a whole fire in his fireplace, and then he could sit next to it and warm up on Yom Tov. Now this, the question is, who said these words? Is this Beis Shammai? Is this Beis Hillel? Or is this both? After all, the machlokes that they had was about warming up water for the feet. Now we're talking about putting up a bonfire to be able to warm up next to it. A different case. Is this Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, or both? Ibaylo. Hai Madura Man Ktonila. Do you say to be a koyli? It goes according to everybody. Didn't Beis Shammai say in the Reishi, you're not allowed to go and warm up hot water unless it's Roy Lishtia. And there's a difference between Anos Kol Gufay, which is permissible, and Anos Eivar Echad, to just go and warm up the water just for your feet. That's not permissible. Now why? What's the difference between one and the other? Says Rashi, because Anos Kol Gufay, Dam Yila Oichal Nefesh. Just like when you eat, that presumably gives nourishment to your entire body, from your hair down to your toes. Here too, if you're sitting next to a nice warm fire, it's giving benefit to the entire body. So maybe here Beis Shammai agrees. Where does Beis Shammai disagree? If you're just making a relatively small amount just to go and help out Eiver Echad, just the raglayim, there it has to be Ro'oi Lishtia. Or you go, well, maybe Beis Hillel Tani Lo, maybe Beis Hillel was the one that said you can make the Madura, but Beis Shammai Loi. He doesn't distinguish between Eiver Echad, the entire body. He holds in all cases, it's Osir unless it's Roy Lishtia. Oh, the price is directly on point. Beis Shammai says, you're not allowed to make a Madura. Our Mishnah says, Ois Adam Madura. That's Beis Hillel, and not Beis Shammai. And we always paskin, not always, but 90% of the time we paskin like Beis Hillel. So here too we're paskin like Beis Hillel, that you're allowed to go and warm up water for your feet, even if they're not Roy Lishtia. And what about taking a warm shower or bath on Yom Tov? Why don't you say that that's also permissible? There we have a big, big problem. What's the big problem? Because in Shulchan Aruch and the Poskim it says that the only time that you say mitoich shehutra letzoyrech hut denamish loy letzoyrech, it's got to be the tzoyrech of your average reasonable man, a normal person. It's got to be tzoyrech for kol adam, your reasonable person. A reasonable person does not need to go and take a full-fledged shower or bath on Shabbos or Yom Tov. He only needs to go and warm up his feet, because his feet, unfortunately, are freezing cold, or they may be sweaty, but not the entire body. That, of course, brings us to modern-day civilization, where most people do take showers every single day, or take baths every day, and so therefore, this does now become a full-fledged tzoyrech l'chol adam. And so therefore, logically, one should be able to go and take a warm shower or warm bath on Yom Tov. Okay, without soap. Soap would be a problem, nimareach. But at least to go and take a shower with a nice shower of hot water. And all of the, when I say modern day poskim, it's not only modern day from today, but from years ago as well, they all say that unfortunately, that since at the times of Chazal, having a full-fledged shower or bath was not considered to be an absolute tzorech, because most people did not take baths or showers that frequently. Since it's not a tzorech kol adam, or kdei chayov, as the poskim call it, you're not allowed to do that even today. Even though today, most people would say, I'm desperate for a shower, I have to have a shower, I have to have a bath. 2 days straight without taking a bath, I'm going crazy. Even though today it is a tzorech, perhaps, but since it's not something that was allowed by earlier generations by the poskim, we don't have that power to go and change what it says in Psak Halach. Anyway, Halacha L'maisa, speak to a competent Orthodox rabbi. We go to the next Mishnah. Zok the Mishnah. Shloish Dvorim Rav Gamliel Machmir, Kidur Beis Shammai. Even though Rav Gamliel was from the house of Hillel, nevertheless, he was Machmir like the Beis Shammai. Number one, in Toymenes Achamim L'chadchila B'yantiv, don't do hatmana. Hatmana means to go and insulate the food. And as we're going to see, we're talking about from Yom Tov to Shabbos. I want to keep the food warm for Shabbos. Don't be matmin, don't insulate it by putting on it all different types of blankets and covers to keep it warm. You're not allowed to do that. We'll see in the Gemara, why not? On the surface, it sounds like, says Rashi, if the menorah fell down, you have no right to go and pick it up and straighten it out. And the Gemara is going to explain why would that be prohibited. Vein oifin patin gritzen ella rikikin. When you're baking on Yom Tov, don't go and bake real heavy-duty, thick cakes or cookies, but only rather wafers. And the reason for that, says Rashi, is because of tircha. It's easier just to go and make cookies and wafers rather than a thick batter and you're making thick breads or challahs, whatever, on Yom Tov. El Rikikin. Omer Lai. So now the Talmidei Beisil said to him, or Talmidei Beishamai said, Manas lebeisavicha, shehoyu machmirin al atzman, o mekil mechol Yisrael, liyos oifin patin gritzin v'chararim. They're saying now to Ram Gamliel, it's all very good and fine that you and your household were machmir like us, like we started the Mishnah. Shloishet var Ram Gamliel machmir kidur Beishamai. However, halacha l'maisa, for everybody else you were mekel. It's only for yourselves that you were machmir. Everybody else you were mekel. And we, of course, Beishamai disagree. We hope you should be machmir for everybody, not just for your beis Ram Gamliel. Now the Gemara is going to go through every one of these three. We, of course, are not going to go through all the three. We're just going to go through the first one. Hey Chidami, it says in the Mishnah that Ram Gamliel was machmir not to do hatmana of hot water from Yom Tov to Shabbos. Frey Timara, what's the problem? Idi anach eruv tafshilin. If you put away an eruv tafshilin, my time of the Beis Shammai. The eruv tafshilin, you're allowed to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos. You're allowed to bake. Why aren't you allowed to do hatmana, insulate the foods that they should remain warm for Shabbos? Midoloy anach eruv tafshilin, my time of the Beis Shammai. Then of course you're not allowed to do hatmana. it's part of preparing from Yom Tov to Shabbos, and if you didn't make an Erev, it's awesome. It's worth the machlokes. It's talking about that they did not put away Erev Tavshil. Which you absolutely need, the Rabbanon were matir. What do we mean to say? What the Gemara is telling us is that if a person put away an Erev Tavshil and he can do as much as he wants in terms of baking and cooking and preparing, no problem. If you didn't put an Erev Tavshil, then the Rabbanan gave you a kula. What was the kula? You can go and make one bulkula. You can go and cook one portion of fish. Don't make fish and flesh and kugel and cholent. You can make one today. Malika Nesanei, you're allowed to go and light one candle. You can even go and take a small fish and go and roast it. In other words, you should have made an Erev Tavshilin. You didn't. We don't want you to go hungry the whole Shabbos, so we allow you to go and make very minimal quantities. Ah, so since he didn't put away an Erev Tavshilin, you're not allowed to go and do Atmana, because only Kedei Chayiv Sharleh, which you absolutely need, the Chacham said, okay, a little fishala, a little kedeirala, a little this, a little that, but you don't need hatman. Tan nami hochi, I'll bring you a raya, mishalei niach eruv tafshim, uifunle pasachas, toimunle kedeir achas, madlikle nesener, mechamunle kitan echa, v'yish om avtoimunle da'ak kar. So that's the teretz number one. We're talking about that he did not put away an eruv tafshim. That's why hatmana is osir according to Beishamah. Rav Amal Olam Shiniach, he did put away an Erev Tavshilin. So he bazoi, so what's the problem? Vishani Hatmana de Mucham Milta da Daita de Shavsa Ka'ovid. When it comes to Hatmana, Hatmana is different. Why is Hatmana different? Because if you're cooking on Yontif, the person who sees that you're cooking thinks that you're cooking for Yontif. If a person is baking on Yontif, he thinks that you're baking for Yontif. The fact that you're cooking or baking for Shabbos, that's fine because it's just like an extension of the Yontif. However, hatmana you don't need for yontif, because hatmana is just to preserve it for Shabbos. It's an exclusive preparation and preservation for Shabbos. Says Yimara, even with an Erev Tavshilin, says Rava, hatmana is not permitted. Shani hatmana, the muchanilta that daita to Shabbat, of it, since it shows directly you're doing it for Shabbos, the Erev Tavshilin does not permit that. We'll stop over here at Boisai, and let them continue, not tomorrow night, but Matzah Yontif, we've now learned tomorrow's blot already, so you can already show off to all of your friends that you know tomorrow's blot, first day of Yontif, and Mietchen will continue Matzah Yontif at 9:30. Mietchen, the days of Chol HaMoed, will start at Mietchen 7 o'clock in the morning, and we'll try to learn from 7 to 8, so everybody can daven in 8 o'clock minyan. Any questions? Hearing none, I wish everybody a favor, all the very best to all of you. Thank you for joining us for the share this morning. Yontif, David, Yontif, Barry, Yontif, Shem. Oh, Chakosha v'Sameach, perfect. Beautiful. Be well. Kol Tov, thank you.